The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D, right here, downtown Las Vegas. Folks betting right behind us. Making wagers, Kelly. That's what they're doing. Wait, can't hear you.
Making wagers, yeah.
Making
wagers.
There we go.
I knew I was going to hit a wrong button at some point.
Mark Borchardt standing by to talk Major League Baseball with us, as is Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke in a bit. We're also going to talk about Survivor, what we're going to pick this week. Week number one, last winless team prop that's still up at DraftKings. By the way, Major League Baseball, you see this? The Rangers now a half game ahead of the Blue Jays for the final playoff spot after the Rangers lose yesterday to the Astros and the Blue Jays win. And you can still get at DraftKings Rangers to miss the postseason at like plus 165. Was that the latest? So we have to check that. But that's a pretty juicy plus price. My pre-flop season win total over on the Rangers limping home to the finish line. It'll get there. But will they make the postseason under Bruce Bochy? We shall see. Hall of Famer to be Bruce Bochy. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Jesse Welch. One of the best all-time Cy Young races, would you say? Or am I being prisoner of the moment? Sure feels like it from a betting standpoint because the cases will be fascinating that folks make for all three of those guys, talking Strider, Steele, and, of course, Snell.
Rangers to miss the playoffs currently, no, plus 165.
Yeah.
To miss.
Plus That's what I said. Yeah, plus 165. Kamish, Gil and Kelly over the dulcet tones of the. Didn't see that coming. Mike Alvarez, congrats to you guys at your first week downtown. Please advise at what point this weekend won't have that vomit completely dries on Fremont Street. No, it's all these. We're going to read everything. Nash, can I request a Margaritaville? Oh, he was the guy who requested Margaritaville over Drew. Sky High, Moneyline Chalk 14 Parlay for U.S. Open matches today. Is that good value? It certainly feels like a chalk fest. I'm not going to go ahead and recommend, but it certainly feels that way. Trevor Warwick, I guess no one thought about Gil's hair on the move wearing a headset now. He really messes with the flow. Yeah, brother. No one thought about it.
We're both worried about it. Yeah. Okay.
Trust me, nobody thought about it. And Mike Stacks, I believe Patriots were 0-5 versus scrambling quarterbacks last year. Ravens, Bills twice, Miami once, Bears. Patriots have to prove they can stop these scrambling quarterbacks. Give me the Eagles -3.5. He's on our side of things. And then finally, Tokyo 2020-21. Surprised to hear about Drew's weekend backing up the truck on Iga versus Ostapenko. I'm a tennis newbie, but what do we make of Iga's now 0-4 record against Yelena getting in her head at some point? Yeah, I mean, we don't usually, I can only speak for myself and also for Drew, but usually head-to-heads don't matter in tennis, and certainly a three-match sample size is not enough to really move the needle. But yeah, after time number four, it does start to seep into your head a little bit where you're like, oh, maybe Iga doesn't really know how to adjust to the powerful comeback from Ostapenko. We joined Mark Borchardt to talk a little baseball from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. You can follow him at BaseWinner on Twitter, BaseWinner.com, the BaseWinner podcast, and his BetUS show as well, which he does with Jason, who's coming up later this hour. How you doing, Mark?
Good. You know, Jason and I are on the show together today, so it's always fun. I would love working with him because he's just kind of like goes from a different angle, and it's really fun. I think you get to a point in your handicapping style, you know, after 15 years where you're like, at first you're like, oh, I don't agree with the way this guy handicaps. Then the longer you do it, you say, I love the way this guy handicaps. Yeah. It's so different than me. And so, like, I think it takes a little bit of time to evolve to that spot. But I love doing the show with Jason. So that's cool that you're having both of us on today. Yeah,
imagine that I booked you guys. So you met us. I always joke about it. I was like, where do they come up with their guests? It's amazing. But what you just said there, I don't want to gloss over that because that shows like a sort of maturity, though, Mark. And you touched on it a little bit, which is, you know, a lot of people in this racket think their way is the only way. And I don't know what it is again about the DNA strain of some bettors where it's like, not only am I right, but I got to prove that guy's wrong. But it is interesting, like other people. It's to me also very fascinating to hear how others go about this this craft, if you will. And so you have come to really respect what you see from Jason's approach.
Oh, not only do I respect it, but I love it because it's different than me. So, like, if you can say that, you know, I'm confident in what I do, I love what I do, but it's not the only way you can do this. And it's taken me a while to get to that point, Gil, because, you know, when we go into this business, we're so darn competitive and we want to be the best and our way needs to be the best. And sometimes it's not. Sometimes, especially, you know, you're not going to win all the time. And yeah. Once you understand that, I think you can move forward from it and appreciate everything and really enjoy it, Gil.
All right, Rangers, I just mentioned, a half game ahead of the Blue Jays for the final wild card spot in the American League. They're also one game out of the division lead of the AL West. Rangers, because they can get in both ways, the no is still jacked up at about plus 165 precisely, actually, at DraftKings. Would you make that bet?
I'd bet the yes. I've got it. Okay, so it's minus 195 at DK. I've got it minus 421. I don't think there's that much between these teams. The Astros, the division to me was like, I think you can get Texas to win division plus 360. Why not? I've got it 182. I think that this is going to be a duel to the death. I'm not really that convinced with Verlander. I'm not really that convinced with Javier. And I think offensively, these two teams, I mean, if you look at it on paper, they're equivalent. You might even give the edge to the Rangers. Now, where the Rangers have a disadvantage by my numbers is in the bullpen. So, but I think that they're right in there, Gil. I think your bet still has a lot of life there.
All right, as a guy who famously gave us Robbie Ray at 100-1 on July 31st to win Cy Young, the year he won the Cy Young, what is your instinct on the NL Cy Young? Strider, Steele, Snell.
Oh, my gosh. I don't see how you cannot bet Strider. I don't see. I mean, the guy's head and shoulders. I mean, it's not even close, you know. And I bet Strider on Friday. I bet Gallen on Sunday. And the difference between the way you feel when you have these guys, Gil, is so much different. And like, I don't even think it's close, Gil. I really don't. And you can look at a bunch of different numbers. I can give you 25 different numbers. But if you look at just, I think, key numbers, wins, loss, and strikeouts, That drives this vote. So I think Strider's a good play, Gil.
It's, you know, I try to be objective about as objective about it as possible, because I also am on Strider, and I give, you know, all the advanced metrics as to why this isn't even close. Like, I literally say, well, what are we even talking about, right? But voters, right? Voters are different, and voters may just care about ERA. All this mumbo jumbo that you and I can cite, right? They just might be like, nah, yeah, look, it's 2.50 and it's 2.55. That's all we care about. That's possible, too. But I do, just to buttress what you're saying, when you watch Strider, you're like, this is the most dominant pitcher in baseball. It's not even close. Yesterday, when Justin Steele was mowing down the Giants, which might not be that big of a feat based on how the Giants are hitting these days, as you're watching it, you're like, how's he doing this? Like, are they not picking up the ball? Like, it's the most incredible thing.
I have never experienced watching a pitcher, and I've been doing this for a long time, Gil. Like, when I watch Spencer Strider and have a bet on him, I feel so good about it. I really enjoy it. It's almost like a thing of beauty watching him pitch. I hope he doesn't get slighted on that Cy Young, because I don't know. Maybe I'm blind because I got a bet on him, but like I don't think so. I mean, he had a bat against Peralta the other day. He went 98 paint lower half of the plate. Inside corner, you can't hit that pitch. I don't care who. I don't think Ted Williams would tell you can't hit that pitch. Yeah. It was just such a good pitch. Yeah.
Well, this should be fun or horribly miserable in the end. We'll find out soon enough. You know, sometime before Thanksgiving, when Major League Baseball gets around to it. What did you end up playing today, sir?
Well, I'm going to lead with this base winner parlay, and it's been real successful with me over the last month. First fives, I'm doing a lot more of, and I enjoy them. A lot more. I'm going to go with the Brewers. Woodruff's numbers are really good. He's 31.5% strikeout rate. His last 150 plate appearances, the stuff plus looks good. 92nd percentile against, really, for me, Andre Jackson, until he proves otherwise, is a league average pitcher. You know, I've kind of turned on this Brewers team. I was down on their bullpen for a long time, but they've got Woodruff, Peralta, and Corbin Burns, and they all have really good stuff, and they all can strike out guys. You know, that might be something to think about. And I've got to run the numbers, Gil, so I can't give you a precise price on it, but that might be something to think about, the Brewers to win the NL, because there's so much love for the Braves and the Dodgers, and they're admittedly, there should be. So I'm going to go with that one. And then the other play I'm going to go with, Gil, is Baltimore Angels over 8.5. I think that's really low. I don't really love any of these pitchers. You look at Detmer's strikeout percentage below league average last 150. Kramer the same way. You look at the stuff plus, it's not great. It's still top half of baseball, but in the 60th percentile. The BBK is not very good. And then offensively, I still like the Angels. I know they've had a bad year, but the way their lineup stacked up, I've got them 9th in baseball. Like the Baltimore offense, I think this is a good opportunity to play an over. Maybe get a little bit of regression on Dean Kramer. Thought about playing the Angels. Can't trust Reed Detmers the way he's been pitching. A lot of ISO power over the last 4 starts, Gil.
All right, Mark, let me go back to that Brewers comment. Because a lot of people are going to hear that, and they're going to be like, come on, Mark, it's the Braves and the Dodgers. But we always have to say the baseball postseason is the most random of all postseasons. And as great as those two teams are, particularly the Braves, stuff happens. As Billy Beane said, my stuff, didn't really use that word, doesn't happen in the postseason. What number would you have to take on the Brewers to make that bet?
Oh, you know, I can't really quantify it because I haven't run it through the sims. But I can tell you, postseason baseball, starting pitching, and I don't think you can do 1-2-3 better than Peralta, Woodruff, and Burns. I don't know. You know, you've got Strider and Fried. Okay, but that's 1-2. Who do you have after that? And then you look at this bullpen. If you look at Williams, Piamps, and Chafin, they're all over 30% strikeout rate over the last 150 plate appearances. They are on fire. And I think that, you know, that bullpen, if you can use 3 good pitchers like that and use 3 good relievers like that, why not? Because you have the days off in between the games as it gets to that NLCS level. And so you can rest your bullpen. So, yeah, I think that the Brewers are, I don't know. I'll give you a price next week.
Okay. All right. We'll wait on that. Mark Borchard, everybody, cousin of Joe Borchard, joins us. Base winner. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it, man.
My pleasure, Gil. Thank you. Looking forward to the Megapod, my man.
Yes, sir. Thank you. We'll do that after the show. First, Kelly and I on Survivor. Next, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up today for only $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D here in downtown Las Vegas. Before we get into Survivor talk, I got some bad news.
Yeah.
Got some bad news. I know Chrissy was on Friday, last day at the South Point, said he would be doing guessing lines. That is not going to be the case this year. So Chrissy can't do it. So we're going to try to. Now, here's the thing. I'm getting a lot of texts and messages from people saying, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this. I wouldn't do it in that same form without Chrissy. Chrissy and I are the best of friends, so don't even worry about any of that either. So it's not about that. But we'll do something. I have all kinds of suggestions. People still want the recaps of all the games.
It's one of the best things done on the network. We're still do the recaps of some kind. Yes.
People seem to enjoy those a lot. So we'll do that to some degree, and we'll, I don't know, won't be guessing lines precisely how we used to do it. We'll be finessing lines in some way.
There you go.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Something like that.
We'll figure it out.
So anyway, I just wanted to point that out as well. So if people come on Monday and they're like, what happened to this? Yeah, couldn't work out. As far as Survivor is concerned, how many entries? Did you buy entries yet to Circus Survivor?
I got one. I have one. That's all I'm doing. Just one for me. Yeah, you're giving me this look. Like, how dare you? I'm doing the one for the content, man, mainly.
Otherwise, one for the content?
Yeah, otherwise I don't really know if I'd be doing it.
I'm kind of doing that for millions.
Okay, there you go.
Because I'm like, you know, I'm not winning this.
I have two millions, I have one survivor.
See, my girl very encouragingly says to me, it's not like you're going to win this, right?
I mean, I say that every time too, but Gilbert, that's what's so great about Circa Millions, because I've got confidence for a quarter. A quarter, no, I have confidence.
I have more confidence in season-long Survivor than I do for a quarter.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
How about the fact that both Joe Pita and Drew have won quarter boobies?
Yeah, that very impressive.
Very impressive.
I still can't believe, when did Drew bring that up? Last week or 2 weeks
casually.
Ago?
He was like, oh, by the way.
He bring that up all of last season.
By the way, I won a quarterly booby prize last year, you guys should know about.
We have him on every single week, at least once, and he never brought that up.
I feel the need to go back to guessing lines for a second. I know. It's been 13 years, 10 with Chrissy. We'll figure something out. We'll figure something out, I promise. I don't want to just, like, pass on from that. As far as, so now I have 5 Survivor entries. So, again, with Survivor, my philosophies aren't necessarily the same as the next guy's. Again, I don't think, as I've talked about many times, I think beyond a certain number of entries, it's a point of redundancy. I think you're just kind of buying extra things for comfort, but you end up playing it the same way, and you just end up losing entries as quick. So that's just my philosophy on that. As far as mapping out the whole season from the beginning, I'm not about that. I start mapping out about week 5, week 6. That's just the way for me to sort of check myself. I don't want to think that I know too much from the beginning. Oh, this team's going to be good, this team's not going to be good, that sort of thing. So really, and you've put together a multiple choice here where you've gotten this. These are the biggest favorites on the board.
Well, I throw a little twist at you this time around, Gil. We're doing it a little different this season.
Oh, okay.
We've got to go multiple choice with you for Survivor Week 1. And we might have to finagle this a little bit down the road because, like we always talk about, you know, you might, if you're still, well, if you, I'm saying if you, if we are still in the running late
right.
in the season,
that's right.
maybe I don't want to talk about where I'm going with, okay?
That would be a
with my
events.
One entry, okay?
How miserable I'd be like, Kelly's still in Survivor.
And you have 5, you burn them all, my one's still alive somehow. I think I was out in week 2 or 3 last year.
You're,
I don't even
you're, like,
yet.
You're like Kramer, you're like, I'm out.
I'm out, yeah. It's my donation. But yes, we have a multiple choice.
Okay.
Just like school.
I appreciate Ravens, I wish I had multiple choice at school. Ravens minus 10. They're the biggest favorite on the board versus the Houston Texans. There are going to be some Survivor newbies who go right to that and like, Ravens, that's it. My choice is made. The Commodes, the Washington Commandeers, they are 7-point favorites against the Arizona Cardinals. I believe this will be the most popular of all Survivor 1 picks. Largely because, well, it's the tanking Arizona Cardinals, who, by the way, that's a strategy, right?
Yep.
The year that the Jets were and the Jaguars were miserable a couple years back, that got you all the way to, like, week 14, just fading those two teams. So I think it's going to be that and the fact that there's not really another natural spot to pick the Washington taco holders at that point. So I think that is pretty obvious there.
Yeah, and I would say, I mean, look, all of these depend on your opinions about the teams, right?
Yes.
Like, you are high. I'm higher on the Commanders, I think, than most, but you're even higher on the Commanders than I am. So
right.
maybe for you, you
right.
maybe want to save them.
But there's a, right, and there's a, but there's a game theory. If I know, and I think we all know, that most are going to take the Commanders, and I don't know, your guess on that percentage, you can go to like an ESPN or one of these services like an Office Pools or whatever, and they show you like of these big pools what their percentages are of who's taking what team. That's a pretty good accurate reflection of what's going to happen in any pool that you're involved in. You may want to play it contrary and say, you know what? I don't know that Washington is going to win that football game. I'll let everybody else crash and burn. Or maybe you have one entry and you're like, well, I only have one entry. I'm going to play them. I'm not going to get too cute. Chiefs are 6.5-point favorites Thursday night football, the game that kicks off the NFL season against the Detroit Lions. Vikings are 6-point favorites against Tampa Bay at home. And then you put it in as E, other. Anything else?
There's always got to be another, right? I mean, you don't have to stick to the 4 biggest favorites. Obviously, like you said, a lot of weeks it's going to make sense to play contrarian a little bit with against everybody else. You might want to look elsewhere.
And there's going to be people in the circuit contest where you can re-up after Thursday night again who are going to play the Lions. And if the Chiefs win, they're just going to re-up all their plays and hope that the Lions win so they will have a sort of incremental advantage coming out of week number 1. In the end, I've got 5. I think I will have no more than 2 on the command.
Okay.
No more than 2. Where I go out now, don't hold me to that. Well, I'll come in on Monday. I'll be like, I had all 5 on the Commanders. I haven't like completely dived deep into this, but my point being is that I want to allow for the possibility of them crashing and burning. And literally, again, I grew up on this football team. But if in the 4th quarter they're in a tight football game and I know that 40% of Survivor entries are going to crash and burn on this, I will heavily root against them at that point.
Right.
Please lose. So that's really it. Remember, the object of the game, it's a misnamed game. It's not to survive. it is to win. Though, even I acknowledge the first 4 or 5 weeks, you're just kind of trying to survive because you don't know what the heck's going on.
But that's it. It goes back to a lot we were talking about with teasers and week one betting just in general. While you're still trying to figure out a lot of these teams, Survivor, while it might not be named appropriately, you always bring that up. First few weeks, you might view it that way a little bit more.
I asked this in a different form on the Megapod, which I'm doing with Todd Wishnev and Will Hill this year, which we're going to record the first one after this show. I always ask, which is the big favorite most likely to lose outright? That's sort of a proxy, a survivor by proxy question, which is, if I came to you and I said, one of these four teams lost outright, the Ravens, 10-point favorites against Houston, the Commanders, there, I finally said it, 7-point favorites against Arizona, they're not going to be that next year, I promise you. It's the first thing Josh Harris
does. He'll allow it for this one segment.
Chiefs versus Detroit or Vikings versus Tampa Bay. I come to you and I say, one of these teams lost, Kelly. Who is it?
The Minnesota Vikings.
Against the Bucs.
Against the Bucs. Yeah.
Because we are largely underrating the Bucs somehow.
I think it's a little bit both ways. I think there's still a little hangover effect from last year of maybe Vikings a little overrated a little bit too much. Because I think everybody in that NFC North is, I mean, have you heard one person that is supremely confident in one team winning the NFC North? Either have I. No. But so I still think there's just the effect of them winning it last year hanging over a bit this year. And yeah, I think early on, I think you might be able to get a little value on this Bucs team. I haven't bet them in week one yet, but I might. I think there might be a candidate to ship off some of their pieces that they still have on the team that is pretty good. I think early on, if you're catching these big numbers, they could be a dog that gets home early. So I think that would be my answer. If one of these loses outright, it's the Minnesota Vikings. Next on the list would be Chiefs for me.
It's really tough because beyond that, when you say other, I'm looking at some of these games and I'm like, nothing feels comfortable.
Yeah.
Nothing feels comfortable at all.
I can't sit here and say
if I made you take one of those, would that team be the Broncos hosting the Raiders? I'd have to check the Broncos schedule, but if I made you, that's the thing. You must take an E, an other. I think it's the Broncos hosting the Raiders.
But that's where the schedule comes into play, right? Like, there are bets we have. Like, I did bet the Jags and the Eagles. I'm that guy. I bet two road favorites. So, I like them, but I wouldn't use them as for survival.
Or maybe you're not as high on the Ravens as others are. And you're like, well, you know what? I actually think they're shaky. Maybe I will take the biggest favorite on the board here because I actually think the Ravens are going to have difficulties this year. It's also a possibility. Last team to go winless. Next, Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The updated NFL betting guide is out now. Throughout the NFL preseason, the VSiN experts have been reevaluating every team to give you the betting edge. Our updated NFL betting guide will have picks from every on-air host, team-specific preseason analysis, how to use VSiN betting splits, and football contest strategies. If you want the best and most comprehensive collection of picks, predictions, and previews, now's the time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber for as low as $19 or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Live at Bar Canada at the D. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Motor City Mike. It's official. Gil has surrounded himself with yes men, which explains why he has both his cronies on the show touting Strider after Steele's Gem. Who are both? I know I had Borchard on. Who was the other one I was touting Strider?
I don't know. Maybe he's previewing Jason already.
Listen, Motor City Mike. Maybe he's previewing Jason. That's right. That's great. He's a portent of things to come.
Because if you're talking about me, I have one Strider bet, but I got no freaking clue. What are you talking about?
Motor City Mike, I think that they are analytics-leaning guesses, which is sort of the brand of this show. And therefore, ergo, they like Strider because Strider dominates in all of those categories. But I'd like to think that I was pretty objective about it here at the beginning of the show, saying, who knows? Who knows what everybody's going to vote on? And I even said, if you're voting on it based on who's the MVP of pitching, then I kind of think by the literal definition of MVP, not that I know that anybody is, but if you did vote it that way, Justin Steele has had the most impact on his team because Snell just made a team that sucks suck less, and Strider made a team that was great be greater. But Steele is might be the reason why they're in the playoffs, because without him, the Chicago Cubs may not be in the postseason.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. That's really not something I had thought about that way before. But I think you're right. And like you said, is there going to be voters that think that way? We don't know. But I bet, like, I would be willing to bet there's one or two that kind of think about it that way. As much as we like Strider, right? Like, that is, you're, like you said, would this team still be really good without him? Yes, they'd still be really good without him.
And Motor City Mike, the reason that I quote the Tango vote, right, the Tango point system, is because I acknowledge that Tom Tango is the best predictor of this award. And as I've said, Strider's third. Strider's third behind both Snell and Steele. He's picked 7 of the last 12 Cy Youngs correctly. And some years gets them right 1 through 5. So it's just another example of people going to hear what people want to hear on this stuff. So, no, I promise you the guests aren't planted as yes men. They've got their own opinions on stuff. I could read a bunch of these tweets. There's a bunch of guessing lines ones. I hear each and every one of you. I'm more bummed than anyone. So I just want to point that out. I acknowledge each of you. I just want to, and then there's this one about that we're at the kids' table. I don't want to read that one either.
A couple more real quick. Trip Tepper pointing out
the line move
for Clemson, Florida State.
Yes.
A big line move after that Clemson performance last night. I think understandable, and he brings up 6-point move from the look-ahead line. He'd be buying on Clemson.
He'd be buying on Clemson.
Off of performance.
Steven Vegas has a great one here. Vegas 6-point teaser lines as of today. So if you are here in Las Vegas, stations minus 125. This is the juice that it requires on a 6-pointer. Stations minus 125. South Point minus 125. BetMGM minus 130. Circa minus 130. Westgate minus 140, Boyd minus 140, Caesars William Hill not offered, but offering minus 130 on 6.5. So thank you, Stephen Vegas, for doing that legwork for us.
Okay, that's really interesting.
Yes, it is.
I was looking at, Matt and I were talking about that on Caesars, what was that, like it was like a week ago. Yeah, that was like last week, almost a week ago. And we couldn't figure out why the 6-point teaser wasn't working on Caesars, because it was showing up as an option.
As we like to say, it was grayed.
Yes.
G-R-A-Y-E-D.
Yes.
Grayed on your app, yeah.
So, yeah. Hopefully that situation works itself out.
Oh, and can I just say this, because I meant to say this yesterday. Caesars, I'm not trying to be a burr in your saddle, but your app, oh my God. This thing during college football Saturday, it really just was, it was driven home on college football Saturday when we're all trying to bet in game. It don't work, man.
Well,
it just doesn't work.
It's a shame when you have. It's one of the few apps in town that one of the few books
gives multiple options
that has live options up all the time.
It
but
keeps,
if your app keeps kicking you out and spinning and whatever,
like,
and
multiple, it's just
you can't use it for live betting.
Literally to the point where you stop using.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, like you can't use it.
Y'all got to do something about that.
Love the options. Love the look of it.
Yeah. Last one here, JW, One Man Wolfpack. What number of Survivor entries do you believe the redundancy point is? Great question. By my actions, I believe it to be 5, right? Because I got 5 this year, I got 5 last year. 5 when the limit was 6, 5 when the limit's 10 now. And believe me, even like the week before, I was like, oh, everybody's getting 10, maybe I'll get 10. And then I was like, why am I doing that? Joe Pita believes it's 4. He believes it's even fewer.
Oh, okay, interesting.
He believes it's 4. He's like, no. Now, Joe Pita's not in it this year, but he believes like after 4 years, because again, yes, you're trying to get multiple entries for Thanksgiving and then obviously Christmas. But to me, it's not a function of how many you start with. It's how you play the game. So I just think if you have 10, you're going to reduce that much quicker, because there's not 10 different. The other way to put it is there's not 10 different paths to the promised land. Are there 4? Probably. But they're not 10. So, again, that's not maybe what Derek Stevens wants or Mike Palm wants to hear about their contest, and I'll mean it that way because I don't want to, you know, they're like, I know, why are you discouraging people from getting it? But that's just my opinion.
Right, yeah, it's just your opinion. And look, it opens up more options. If you want to play more, you have the option to play more now. If you want to play less, you can play less. Figure out what's best for you anywhere between 1 through 10.
All right, we've talked about this market before. This is last winless team in the National Football League. It's up at DraftKings. It's up at a lot of places. We bring it up again because
we've talked fewest wins.
No, we brought the, well, we brought it up because had a bet on it.
Oh, okay.
You're right. You're
okay.
Right. Maybe we didn't bring it up because I have the Panthers at 15-1. The very next day, the Cardinals cut Colt McCoy. So that was a how can I put this? A poorly timed wager, maybe.
I do have some larger bets on fewest win teams on Raiders and Titans that I wish I could take a little money back on because of that Cardinals move.
I guess the question here becomes, because the Cardinals are clearly the short shot, right? They're 4-1. Everybody else is double digits, starting with the Texans, Bucks, and Titans at 11-1. Oh, interesting. The Titans, that's that early schedule. Always know the early schedule.
Yep.
By the way, what are the Jets? Just out of curiosity. I know people are like, what do you mean? Because their schedule is ridiculous. And I'm just saying on the off chance.
I didn't even think about that one.
On the off chance.
I thought about a couple of these teams, and we'll discuss them. But that one I didn't even think about. I'm looking it up
right
now.
But the real question is, while you look that up, the real question is this the market? Like, if you were like, I want to have some sort of skin in the Cardinals sucking game, is this the market that you would do that in? And you would be like, you know what? I don't have them for season wins. I don't have them anything else. I don't have them for worst record even.
Right.
But because I don't want to wait that long.
Yeah.
But last winless team 4-1, is this the market you should play them in?
I think so.
I think so.
And
too.
If I don't think this is available in Vegas, there's one book I haven't checked that it might actually be. I think I bet this at 4-1. I think I would. Like, this is their schedule. Is still, I mean, it's tough. And we're talking about the Commanders. You want to say Commanders aren't a great team, it's fine. They're a 7-point favorite, okay? They're a 7-point favorite. Let's go by with the books. But you got the Commanders, okay? And then you're at home, cool. But you got the Giants. You got the Cowboys. Then you're on the road for the 49ers. You got the Bengals at home. Then you're at the Rams. Like, that's like the first time, Gil, I'm thinking, oh, maybe, okay, you pick up a win here if it's not early, right? Would you be shocked if they upset Commanders or Giants? No, I don't think I would be. But if they get past week two, it could be a while before we're talking about a win for this team.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, at Rams, right? Week six?
Yes, that one maybe.
But, you know, my Panthers thing was because, again, it's like my draft part de just fading Bryce Young.
Yeah.
Maybe he turns out to be great, but I believe when I see it. What, the Jets, first six games, home Buffalo.
25-1, by the way, is the number.
Oh, that's not enough.
Yeah,
I want to double that because it's home Buffalo, at Dallas, home New England, home Kansas City, at Denver, elevation, home Philadelphia before their bye. And remember, bye weeks matter in this market. That's also the other biggest point in this. It doesn't. It's not the way that it's worded again is last winless team. Byes help you in this.
Right.
It doesn't matter that you don't play a game, right? The bye is a free bonus square in this market. So if you have an early bye, that tilts it towards that team. So with the Jets having it in week seven, it's worth a thought. But 25-1, yeah.
I don't know, Gil. I actually like it. There were one I didn't really
people,
think
some
about.
Some people's heads are exploding.
I know.
Their schedule's terrible.
It's tough.
They could win week one, but they also could lose a whole bunch of these. Like, is 1-5 that outlandish? I don't think it is.
I mean, it is Bills at home, on the road to the Cowboys, Patriots at home, Chiefs at home, on the road at the Broncos, Eagles at home, then on the road to the Giants, Chargers at home.
I believe I just mentioned that.
Yeah, I mean 25-1, yeah. I actually think that could be enough bang for your buck to take a flyer.
Well, shop around on these.
Yeah.
Because maybe you can find better than that. And if you can, I don't know, outlier.
But I hate the Raiders this year, too. They would be an option.
Yeah. But yes, this is the Cardinals market to have some skin in them stinking.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. We'll come back. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. Let's see if he's a yes man on NL Cy Young. That and more, what he's got today. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting Network.
The best Thursday of the year is coming up, and it's all about NFL opening night. Football is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is hooking new customers up with a can't-miss offer to celebrate. Place your first $5 NFL bet and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Don't wait till kickoff to get in on the hype. Hype! Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS. New customers get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5. That's code VEGAS only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Skill Alexander is Kelly Bidlin. People hanging out, ready for the Megapod. Steve Fezzik on deck, ready to join us. I just added a Heisman bet, Kelly Bidlin.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
During this past break?
Maybe.
I was like, we had a full conversation during the break.
Maybe I did. I have ways. Shedeur Sanders, I already had at 100-1. Yeah. Now I do have Travis Hunter at 60-1.
Okay. I like it.
Are they leaders or dogs? You know how Dion does it? He doesn't name captains. He has L's and D's, leaders and dogs.
I was not aware of that until you told me it during the break.
Yeah. I'd like to be a dog. If I was playing for Dion, I'd be like, can I be a dog?
Yeah.
I think he'd be like, I don't think you shouldn't have to ask for that.
Right. Yeah. You're just one or the other.
Hey, Coach Prime, can I be a dog? No, can't be. He's like, who let you in on the team? Jason Weingarten joins us from under a cloud of smoke somewhere in Southern Cali. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. He joins us now. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. I just heard you talking about Heisman stuff. I at least through 1 week, looks like I was incredibly wrong about Deion Sanders, huh?
You didn't think good things.
You asked me, I think it was Thursday, what I thought. I said it's not going to work out. It's dumb. And I've been saying these things for a while now, and I got to tell you, like there are certain sort of signs, you know, like something's up. For example, like when you bet something at bookmaker and it just doesn't move, like you know you made a bad bet.
They respect you so much.
And there's like
it doesn't
trolls
move.
On Twitter. There's people that'll just like be kind of jerks to you on Twitter, but then you'll say something and you'll kind of get responses from random accounts that don't follow you, offering you like multi-Bitcoin limits on, you know, betting the Colorado the Colorado under.
Yeah.
And you know, you're like, okay, maybe I'm a little bit wrong here.
God, I'll
So I bet Colorado this weekend, actually, just to kind of, you know, see if I was just totally wrong. And at least now I'm wrong, but I'm way ahead financially. So I don't even feel bad.
Yeah. I got him at -2.5. What number did you get him at?
I got two this week. I just got to keep playing it, I guess. But I saw you mentioned you bet Shedeur Sanders Heisman.
Yeah.
I bet that like a month ago for the max. It was 150-1 to win like $50,000.
Listen to this. I got it. I didn't get it for nearly that amount because was not something that they were taking. But after the game, it was still 150-1. You believe that? I could not believe that. They didn't give me that. They didn't give me as much as that, though. But good for you.
I kind of believe it because there's still such an uphill battle
sure.
to climb. And I had this whole discussion with people before the season. Like, if you just open money line parlayed their first couple games, would it even pay more than betting, you know, the Heisman? But then you mentioned Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
And the thing is, obviously, it's only one game. But if a guy's going to play 140 snaps a game, like, how is he not going to be at least on the podium at the Heisman ceremony?
Right.
It's something at least it's going to have to be discussed. If they beat Nebraska this week, then everything's going to get crazy. But
yeah, but listen, I said this also. Like, there's a reason why there hasn't been a back-to-back Heisman winner since Archie Griffin. We've had, like, as big of a favorite as Caleb Williams is, people forget Herschel Walker, Tim Tebow were probably bigger favorites than this, and they didn't get there. And through a combination of different factors, right? Some of them might just be voters, for all we know. And there's a ton of Heisman voters, right? Tons of them. Like 1,000, literally. They might just be like, we don't want to give anybody back-to-back, right? Who knows what their reasons are. So if you – and Caleb Williams has been great thus far. But if you – but we haven't seen a Travis Hunter. Like, this hasn't happened before. So, yes, I mean – The consensus is, well, he can't keep up this pace because it would be like over 1,700 snaps, both, you know, combined.
I do think that's an issue.
Yeah, I do think that's an issue too. But, man, if it's some, you know, large portion of that and he just performs, I mean, he was just unbelievable. I can't tell you how many times I just tweeted Travis Hunter to people, like just
and
over
and
over.
You got to remember, just as a talent, as a pure football talent, he was going to go to Florida State initially, and then Deion convinced him to join him at Jackson State. And you got to kind of imagine that he's been in on the plan for a while now because, you know, he brought him to Jackson State. He brought him to Colorado. he's clearly an NFL talent. Like Dion is going to maximize every Travis Hunter snap to get him, you know, where he's going to be going.
I wonder if Dion literally graduates with these guys into the NFL. Yeah, it's very
he might
you know, have, unless he replenishes. Yeah,
that's so far down the line though. I mean, they got Nebraska. This is just the hype train all derails. I mean, one week beating a retooled TCU team was great. You know, I saw a lot of positive things. Don't get me wrong. I'm still totally wrong here myself, mind you. But it's an exciting story, especially, you know, the betting on it. The there were more bets on this game than anything else on Saturday.
That was how I started the show yesterday. I'm like, what a shot in the arm for college football, because it's the last year of the four-team playoff, right? We're not yet to the 12. And so it's the usual suspects at the top. It's the same old, same old. We're all going to go through the year. Then we're going to have a nonsense debate who should be in, who should be out. This is just so great for the sport. And I really hope, just from a selfish content perspective, not only that, but also the bets, of course, but just coming in here day to day, that it gives us something to talk about. So I would hate it. Like if Nebraska, like you were saying, and we come in Monday and the final score, Nebraska 17, Colorado 14, like that would stink, right? Because then we don't get to talk about this anymore. So I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, and then, you know, the thing, just peeking ahead at the schedule a little bit, if they do beat Nebraska, they get Oregon, and then
that's a different story.
USC at Colorado. So the hype train will just get so big if they can win the second game. I mean, their win total was 3.5, so you know you're already almost drawn dead there, it looks like.
Undefeated against Oregon will be a massive thing, and let's just play around undefeated versus USC. Is that the following week? Do they get USC?
I believe it's back to back games. I don't know if it's back to back.
Could you imagine that hype train, to use your phrase?
Yeah. I hope it happens, just like you said, for the content.
Yeah. I
hope it happens. You know, it's we're all better off with you know, Dion continuing to win. I'm still suspicious, but you know, he proved me wrong week one. So Dion won, Jason zero.
Also, did you hear the post game speech? Did you all hear that?
Oh yeah, real quick.
I was ready to run through a wall.
Nebraska, Colorado State, and then on the road at Oregon, USC.
Right. So yep. Oregon would be 3-0. Colorado would be 3-0 by the time they play Oregon. Hopefully, we get there. What did you get them at? What number against Nebraska, by the way?
Two.
I got 2.5. Okay.
I was waiting for that opener all day. So I was really curious what it was going to open.
Yeah.
Like I just from a bookmaking standpoint too, it was real interesting to see Circa open it at 5 and
got
that
back. Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta do something like that. You knew you were just going to get buried in Colorado money all week.
Although that's one of those where, again, I'm like, I watch that team play and I watch that team play. I don't know. You're not going to convince me to do that buyback. What did you bet in baseball today?
Got two plays. I bet the Twins minus 118. And a little later in the day, I got the Orioles minus 160 against Angels. I just love betting against the Angels right now.
Did you fade Kenny Rosenberg last night? Did you do that?
Oh, man, did I? I got like minus 161. It closed in the 180s. I was so worried the amount of, you know, line movement there that it was just an automatic loser.
Oh yeah, no, we did it.
Yeah,
too.
I got lucky.
We did it too. Last thing, this is from Motor City Mike, who's out there. Who would you vote? Who would you vote? I swear this is great. Who would you vote for NL Cy Young, Jason?
You know, I'll tell you. I just made a bet yesterday, Justin Steele.
There you go.
If he pitches the Cubs into the playoffs, I think he's going to be the biggest competition to Snell and Strider. I still think Strider has the best chance to get it done with the 20 wins,
yes,
close to 300 strikeouts.
That's like, exactly
if,
right.
He's if he doesn't win the Cy Young after not winning the Rookie of the Year, like that's really the worst bad luck to your stretch.
I said that last week. I go, you're going to snub him for Rookie of the Year last year. Now we're going to snub him for Cy Young, this poor guy.
Yeah.
All right, Jason. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Good luck with all the bets.
Thank you. I'll see you. Talk to you later.
Yes, sir. Jason Weingart, a little later in the week, at Spreadopedia, once again, on the old Twitter machine. See there, Motor City, Mike? He bet on Justin Steele.
Yeah, we got Steele. A baby, man.
Yeah. He kind of set both of them. Yeah. This story proved it. I'm going to start doing segments based on listener feedback. Exactly. We've done all we could do. Best Bets is next right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.